Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million.
Oh, I only know, like, there's a techno remix of it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for Kai Rizdahl, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I am Marielle Segarra, in for Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us this Thursday. Sabri and I are going to go over a few news items that we've got for you, and then we will wrap things up with some Make Me Smiles. So let's start.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So a couple of big consumer-facing companies reported earnings today, and they are all doing just fine, thank you very much, despite inflation and their costs going up. They are passing the costs on to all of us. So yeah. Nestle is one example, and Danone, which owns a bunch of yogurt brands, and also Evian Water. Both of them saw their sales go up significantly, and I know Nestle also saw its profits rise, and they just raised prices in the past year, in the past 3 months in particular. What it made me think about was two things, I guess. Companies, the limit to price increases and the limit to inflation, I think, comes down to what we are willing to pay. Right? There's going to be a ceiling at some point, but if you're willing to pay an extra, let's say 25 cents for that chocolate bar, they're going to charge it. And so I wonder when we're going to hit that limit. But then I also wonder, as inflation starts to weigh on all of us and we look and say, I do not have as much disposable income left this month. What am I going to cut back on? Where do we start to see those cuts? And I think one of them is Netflix. Yeah, exactly. They reported earnings, I think it was today as well, and they saw a loss of 200,000 subscribers in the past quarter. It was the first time that they lost subscribers in the last decade or more. And their estimate was that they were going to lose another 2 million next quarter.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild? I thought I was looking at the numbers wrong when I saw that, but I mean, it made me think of this woman who I interviewed. I think it was last year. I did a profile on her. She lost her job during the pandemic. She was a big marketing executive. She was making $180,000 a year, sole breadwinner for her family, three kids. She lost her job and then was able to cobble together some freelance income, and her husband got a job as a janitor. They went from making $180,000 to $60,000. And so that meant some pretty big, yeah, I mean, and some families survive on $60,000, but if you go from, if you're making a third of what you used to, you have to make a lot of cuts. And one of the first things they did, she made a spreadsheet and she said subscriptions. She looked up every subscription that they had that she didn't even realize they had. Like, they had an Audible subscription. She didn't even know what that was. I think one of her kids signed up for it. And they just went by one and deleted them, because it's this really concrete thing, right? You're like, okay, that's whatever, $13 a month, that's $10 a month. You can see it and it feels easy to cut, whereas 25 cents extra for a chocolate bar at the grocery store, you might not notice, or you might think it's just a one-off thing.
You are so right. It's way easier to Marie Kondo subscriptions, I guess, than maybe material things, maybe. I don't know.
It seems like it's more obvious.
I mean, I was surprised when I heard this. I was like, where are all my fellow cheap as hell consumers? Because like when I saw, so in, at the CVS where I get my protein powder, it went up by like 30%. The price went up to 30%. And I was like, so help me God, I will never pay this price for protein powder. And I went to coupon clipping, you know, I like resorted to flavors that I found disgusting. I was like, hell will freeze over before I pay this price. And I'm just like, where is everybody? But I'm sure we're going to get there, you know, like eventually.
Yeah, I think there's a...
But it will be interesting to see when.
There's a upper ceiling on what you're willing to pay, especially if you've bought something for a long time. Like, if you think a slice of pizza shouldn't be more than $2.50, then that might be your... You're all right, this is it moment. I'm not paying $2.75 for this thing. I'm kind of curious what your disgusting protein powder flavor is. Like, is it like watermelon? I don't know.
No,
watermelon catfish or
really,
something.
No,
like some
really
weird
cheap
combination.
Chocolate. No, it's literally just chocolate. It tastes like cardboard, but it's like super. Ugh. It's not like the nice chocolate. It's like the gross chocolate. But, you know, my dad told me a story one time about my granddad. This was in Tunisia, who he decided to take the family out for pizza, which, you know, he was old. And so he had not actually taken anybody out anywhere for a very long time. He had not actually paid a bill for a very long time. And so, you know, a lot of inflation had happened while, you know, during that time. And so he took everyone out to a pizza place and he's like, oh, I will get this. And the bill came, and let's say it was like $10 or something, not expensive. And he was like, what is this? And then he pulled out his little change purse and went to the waiter and was like, 25 cents, tomatoes, cheese, 50 cents, bread and wheat, 10 cents. Here is your pizza. And my dad and his brother were so mortified, but my granddad was so insistent, and he like, so my dad had like secretly paid the waiter like behind the scenes or something and let my very old granddad have that win.
I kind of want to try that though.
Personal fight against inflation. Yeah.
I'm going to show up to a restaurant and try that. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bail you out.
Okay,
I mean, like,
cool.
Literal pay your bill. Yeah.
All right, you go.
Okay, so mine is, it is, like, on the surface, super boring, but Jerome Powell, chair of the Fed, was speaking at an IMF meeting, and he said a half-point interest rate rise is on the table. And I am pretty sure that when people hear Fed, chair, interest rate, their eyes glaze over and they're like, please, please address this to someone who cares. But there's sort of, I actually think we are in a really critical, critical moment in time in terms of the course of our economy in which we all live. Because, you know, the Fed is trying to get hold of inflation. It's, you know, raising the rates that banks pay so that banks raise the rates that we pay. It's doing this thing called, you know, it's reducing its balance sheet, which is gibberish, for basically selling a bunch of treasuries and other securities on the open market. It's just, you know, it's going to start shooting them out there. And just like, you know, if you, you know, it's the phrase a dime a dozen, you know, when there's so many out there, no one wants them or not enough people want them, the price falls. And that makes the yield, if people understand what that is, the yield on these securities higher. It just means they're just like fidgeting with all these different interest rates in the economy and making it harder to borrow and driving up, you know, all kinds of other interest rates, credit cards, bank loans, auto loans that will go up too. So now the reason why this is such a critical moment in our economy is because if they do that, they need to do that enough to get inflation down. But if they do it too much, our economy is going to go into recession. And there are a lot of prominent economists who are saying the odds of that happening, of recession happening, are not zero. They're not even close to zero. Matthew Luzzatti at Deutsche Bank is basically saying it's going to happen. Goldman Sachs says there's like a 35% chance. Mark Zandi says, you know, 1 in 3 chance. So there's like a real possibility out there that that is going to be in our future. And I think one of the things that people are going to be looking at here is the unemployment rate. If it goes up 0.5% for 3 months, more than it's been at, you know, more than its lowest point in the past year, there's a strong, it's not a rule, but it's a phenomenon. It usually means we're in recession. So the moment we see the unemployment rate start to tick up, that is going to set off all kinds of alarm bells, and people are going to be watching that very closely. So I don't know. I just feel like we got to know the moment that we're in here, because we are in a moment for sure.
So two things that come up for me here. One is this word recession. I think a lot of us, especially who are still scarred by the Great Recession, or I mean the pandemic recession, have a certain feeling around that word. But recessions can also be pretty small, right? Like they don't all have to be kind of world ending the way that the last two were.
You are so right. You are 100% right. And that, I mean, that is actually a really good point. I mean, we are, us, you know, at our age, I'm do I get fined if I lie about my age on there?
You're 25, right?
Yeah, 25. But like, if we, you're right. Like the only recessions we know have been like catastrophic, basically. But you're right. We could have a recession that's just not that huge of a, as much of a deal. But it just sucks when the unemployment rate, you know, goes up and you get a bunch of people, you know, out of work.
Yeah. Does, if this happens, if the Fed raises interest rates and then we see the economy respond in this way where we dip into, even if it's a baby recession, does that validate some economic theory? Is that some, like, is that evidence for, I feel like there are so many economic theories that we're, like, not really sure if they're true or not, or they haven't been true for the past 20 years. They used to be true. Is there anything like that?
Well, I'm sure, I don't know of any. I do know that I'm pretty sure for going back a very long time, the Fed has not been able to get a hold of inflation without raising interest rates above the real interest rates above inflation. So that is going to be interesting, I think, to see if that's the case. Basically, how high do they need to raise rates for this to work?
Yeah, because inflation's really high right now.
Yeah, it won't be like what it is right now, because the average over the year will be lower than this insane point, 8.5% in March. We are not going to get that high, but, you know.
Wild. All right. Well, I think we need to smile now.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. I want you to go first.
Okay.
Make me smile,
I don't know
Sabri.
If this is okay. All right. There's this Instagram person called Tess Please, and she has periodically these videos which so often have a economic bent to them. She basically makes a lot of fun of capitalism, and she'll like impersonate capitalism, like, "Hi, it's me, capitalism." And I'm not endorsing a particular critique of it. You know, I'm not endorsing any particular critique of capitalism, this or that, but she's just funny, okay? But anyway, we can play like a second of that.
Hi, it's capitalism.
I'm thriving. Are you thriving?
JK, I do not care.
My precious CEOs are making record profits during historical inflation.
So what?
If there's a little price gouging here and there, I'll allow it.
Did I mention some of these?
I don't know. She's really funny. She's really funny. It
she
goes
is, and
there.
I'm pretty sure you sent this to me on Instagram, too.
Oh, I think I did.
This is like
sure
one of the many memes that we exchange. Yes,
yeah, daily.
I think she is funny. And no, capitalism, I am not thriving. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, but no. So mine is also from, it's from social media, from an account I follow on Twitter called The Moon's Wife. I do not know this person, but she is just delightful. The things she tweets out fill me with joy and wonderment. And today she tweeted this question. Do you ever wish fictional characters from different universes could hang out together? I think Peter Rabbit would have gotten into such vegetable-stealing mischief with Merry and Pippin from Lord of the Rings. The two hobbits, if I'm getting that right. So I kind of went down the rabbit hole with this one, and I came up with some suggested pairings from literature and film. So, all right, here goes. We have Hamlet, who's the original emo kid and, you know, haunted by his dad's ghost, with the original Ghostbusters.
That's good.
Pretty good. I feel like they could help him with his problem. We have Fran Drescher from The Nanny and Logan Roy from Succession. She would be his publicist, and she would get on him about his style, like, Logan, like, you gotta spice it up a little bit. Like, put on some leopard print, you know? He would be super annoyed. We have Lady Macbeth and Jessica Rabbit. Hear me out here.
What?
The reason Lady Macbeth is so mad is because she does not actually want to date men. Like, she's into women.
Oh.
She meets Jessica Rabbit. Her head turns. The two of them make a saucy couple, and she kind of evens out a little bit.
Jessica Rabbit is a rabbit, though, right?
She's a rabbit, but she's like a sexy rabbit. She's like a, you know, she's got that red dress. she's the
Jessica
one who's
Rabbit.
Like,
wait, you know, Jessica Rabbit from what the
who framed
what is
Roger
the movie
Rabbit?
That she's from?
Who framed Roger Rabbit? She's
I was
the one
thinking
with the, she's
Peter,
not a rabbit. She's not a rabbit after all.
Oh, I was thinking Peter Rabbit. You know, the one, the
no.
vegetable rabbit.
No.
And I didn't get it.
She's,
but
you
no,
know,
yeah,
I, for
no,
some reason I pictured
hot.
Her with a rabbit ears. But yeah, she's got the red hair. Both she and Lady Macbeth have red hair. She's got the red dress and the gloves.
You are very creative.
I'm going to throw one more at you.
Okay.
Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, notable curmudgeon, and the mouse from If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Oh, would it, the little mouse cookie, the cookie mouse, like melt his heart or something?
No. If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want some milk to go with it. And then he's going to want a straw for the milk. And then he's going to want a napkin because his face gets too. He would just annoy the crap out of Ron Swanson.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I think you have a future, like, at, well, I was going to say Netflix, but maybe let's go with
maybe
HBO.
Maybe not.
I'm
glad you like them.
I guess that's it. Yeah, I did. I loved them. I guess that's it for today. I'll be back with Amy Scott tomorrow for Economics on Tap. We will have a drink, play a game, talk about the news, I guess. That show will stream live on YouTube at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, if you want to join us for a visual.
And in the meantime, send us your thoughts or questions, please. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark K. Green with help from our intern, Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer. The director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
You know, I'm a little embarrassed, like, how much time I spent coming up with these pairings. I have a Google Doc.
Of course you do.
I'm going to send it to you.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.